Appreciate you coming out, you know, hearing from heaven and what to share. It's nice to just not preach to chairs. I've preached all sorts of things, you know, I'll do it. But it's nice to see you and your faces because God's going to help you tonight. Amen. Church is our help. Amen. It's not our obligation. It's not our repetitive action. It's not just our hobby. It's not just mundane. It's our help. It's our appointment with God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we're going to get something tonight. So go ahead and let's bow our heads and let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. Father, we bless and praise you. We honor and magnify you. Help us here tonight, Lord. Father, you're the vine. We're just branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So Lord, I ask that you'd make my tongue the pen of a ready writer tonight. And I declare that I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, it doesn't matter what I think or what I want to say or my opinions or my philosophies or my theories or my ideas. Lord, we need to hear from heaven. So, Lord, we yield to you tonight. And we're looking for you to move in this place. What I'm trying to say, Father, is be God here tonight. You are invited to be God. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this place. We thank you. We'll walk out of here changed. And, Father, those that made the effort to be here tonight, when there's so many other things that could be done and life is so busy and things going on, they made the effort to be here. Lord, I thank you that you'll give them something that will change their life and give them something for the rest of their life to bring them to a new level of glory. And we thank you for it. We expect that to happen tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open to Philippians chapter 3, excuse me, in verse 1. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul writing to the church at Macedonia, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, he says, is not grievous, but for you it's safe." Paul said, "When I repeat myself to you, I don't mind doing it because I know it's for your safety and I want you to be safe." Listen to what the Message Bible says concerning this verse. "I don't mind repeating what I have written in earlier letters, and I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry, so here it goes." Hallelujah, I like that. We jump over to 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. We see Peter say things along the same lines. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, and we'll read through verse 13. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them," he's saying, "I'm not going to be negligent to tell you things even though you already know them. And are established in the present truth," verse 13. "Yes, I think it's meet or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Amen. Some of us become that pot of broccoli cheese soup on the stove that's just been sitting there and getting crusty. And we get stirred up. And he says the way we stir ourselves up is by putting ourselves in remembrance. Listen to what the Message Bible says in this portion of Scripture. I love this way it's put. "Because the stakes are so high, even though you're up to date on all this truth and practice it inside and out, I'm not going to let up for a minute in calling you to attention to it. This is the post to which I've been assigned, which is keeping you alert with frequent reminders. And I'm sticking to it as long as I live." I love that. Now this isn't just verses for us ministers to have a crutch when we repeat ourselves and can say, "See, the Bible says we can do it." Now, it does help us. And you hear big-time ministers like Pastor Nancy and Reverend Greer and Pastor Webb say that Brother Hagin, you know, delivered ministers of the fear of repetition. And Reverend Greer said, you know, he heard Brother Hagin preaching in the same messages for 50 years, and earlier messages that he heard by recording up till the last message he preached in 2003 in Mississauga, Ontario, up in Canada there, and he was still using the same illustrations, the same stories, the same sermons. Why? Because it's biblical. To stir us up. Paul said this, he said, it keeps you safe. And Peter said, if I don't do it, I would be negligent. So if we have two heavyweights in the body of Christ, Paul and Peter, saying, it's my job to remind you that it's better, then we better be doing the same things. That means that we are going to hear things over and over and over again. And Peter said that, Paul said, I'll keep you safe. It's not grievous, he wants you to keep you safe. And Peter said, I'll be negligent if I don't do that. Well, as the pastor of the church, my heart and job is to attempt to keep people safe. Hallelujah. And not be negligent. You know, you're kind of like a spiritual parent of the congregation. Even though I'm younger than many people, that's kind of what, and in the church, that's the way it is. You know, spiritually speaking, the Lord puts someone in our lives, and we're to keep them safe and to help and to shepherd and to guide them and things, kind of like a parent does. And I was thinking about this with my children. I've used these stories before. Of course, we live in the country, but I love where we live. You know, it's such what do I always say? You know, I can go hunting, and in 5 minutes, I can be eating a 10-piece chicken McNugget. I mean, that's awesome. That's, for me, that's abundant life. Sometimes I just crave those things, you know. And some of you people I talk to, you live in Cattaraugus and things. It's like, you go to McDonald's, it's like, man, you just hit the big city. I mean, it's like big time, and I can go there anytime I want. I mean, 24/7, it's great. I like it, you know, and so we live in the country. We have a longer driveway, and the kids enjoy playing outside. And as they get older, of course, they get a little more independence, and they'll ask to go out and ride their bike. And you know, if we got things going in the house, you know, we'll let them go out together. But they have rules and things, and strict rules that they have to follow when they're out there by themselves. And, you know, certain places they're not allowed to go past on the driveway, certain things they're not allowed to do, you know. There's an above ground pool. They're not allowed, you know, just things they know that they're not allowed to do. But you know, I want to be a parent that keeps my children safe. And I don't want to be a negligent parent. So what I find myself doing, and what she finds herself doing, is telling them the same things over and over and over, even though they know it. They know they don't dare go near that swimming pool when we're not out there. They know they don't dare get near a certain place in the road riding their bikes without us. They know they don't go wandering off in the woods. They know. Even though they know it, guess what we're saying when they ask, can I go ride my bike? You sure can, but remember. Why? It's not grievous for me to do that because it keeps them safe. I don't want to be negligent, praise God. And there are certain things in the Word that we need to stir ourselves up over and over and over again, even though we know them. We can become stale. We can become, you know, just like that soup, you know, just kind of sitting there and just kind of going through the motions. Well, we need to stir ourselves up and remember some things. Hallelujah. And it keeps them safe when we do that. Praise God. Go with me to 1 Peter, just maybe a page back, chapter 5 and verse 8. There's a certain theme of what I'm going to share tonight concerning what we're talking about and why I'm doing it. And after I read you this verse, I'll explain more what I'm saying. The Bible says to be sober and to be vigilant. To be vigilant means to be on guard. Don't be caught sleeping. Amen? Because, he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. So the Bible tells us here that our job is to be on guard, to be sober, to be vigilant, because we have an adversary who goes around attempting to devour us. Now, that might seem scary, but in this authority series that we start on Sunday, we'll see in this series that the devil can be big, bad, and scary if we let him. Amen. Yeah. Just like Abby can be big, bad, and scary if I let her. I've told you stories. They're all true. But if I put my foot down and put an end to it, she can't do anything. Same with the devil. He's got a good resume for negativity, stealing, killing, and destroying. And he's on the prowl, the Bible says. He's on the prowl, your adversary, the devil. Praise God. I'm so glad God warns us. He's looking to devour you, your life. Now, you know, the devil's always on the prowl. 1 Corinthians 16:9, we don't have to turn there. It says, a great door is open to me, but there's many adversaries. The devil is always trying to stop you and to hinder you. Get you out of faith, get you into worry, get you into doubt and unbelief, through temptation, through all sorts of things. He's trying to get you to trip up and stumble. Now here's why I want to say tonight, this is why we're saying these things. The Bible does not say that the devil takes time off from seeking and devouring in the summertime. The devil does not take breaks because the weather in Western New York got nice. Now, why do I say that? Because around here, this is not Southern California. Have you learned that yet? San Diego might have the best weather in the world. I mean, it's 70 degrees most of the time and sunny there all the time. Not too hot, not too cold, hardly any rain. I mean, it's just nice all the time. We don't get that very much around here. And so when we get nice days and nice weather, of course, it ramps up busyness in our lives. Yard work, vacations, and that, nothing wrong with that stuff. Don't misunderstand me. There's always balance. But you need to know in this that the devil's not taking a break and saying, you know, those poor folks in Western New York, they never get nice weather. So I'm going to go bother the people in Southern California and give them 3 months off. No. The problem is the devil doesn't become lax during the summer, but we become lax during the summer. I see things and activity happen during holidays, during summertime, because why? Not because the devil's doing anything different. It's because we start doing things different. And we start opening doors. Hallelujah. So we don't want that to happen. Praise God. So I'm going to help you with that tonight. Think about the Navy SEALs for a second. They are considered the most elite fighting force in our military. They do have movies on them. They're the ones that go in and took out Osama bin Laden. They do all these high-profile, even secret missions and things you never hear about, you know. And they even on the Discovery Channel have a documentary on their training, on their buds training. And they have a week called Hell Week. And, you know, they throw these guys in the swimming pool with their hands tied behind their back and their feet tied. And they have to keep above water. And they keep them awake for a week, hardly any sleep. And the 50-degree Pacific Ocean temperatures in California and the water, they're wet and sandy and tired and hungry. And they put them through hell. So then they go out and they keep us safe, praise God. But when you watch shows on the Navy SEALs and different things when they get out of training, the majority of the time spent for this elite fighting force is not in battle. It's not in combat. The majority of the time is spent at base, but when they're at base, they're not just filling their face with Cheetos. And they're not just playing 16 hours of Xbox all day long. And they're not just sitting around watching movies for hours and hours. No, there is downtime. But the majority of time for Navy SEALs, who are the most elite, is spent training. Amen. Not in the battle, but training when there is no battle. See, it would be backwards for all of a sudden the general to call the group of Navy SEALs and say, hey, we have an issue over here. It's an extreme thing and we need a team. And then also they say, we better start training. If you start training when the battle comes, you're too late. Amen. Many people are ill-equipped when the battle comes to their front door. And that's why the devil gets them into a place of worry. That's why the devil gets them into a place of fear. That's why the devil gets them into a place of temptation. Because they weren't ready. Well, there's no greater time in Western New York for a Christian to get lax than summertime. Because we crave the nice weather. Amen. So I'm going to stir you up, put you in remembrance of some things. And you already know them all. And I'm going to help you tonight. Now here's what I want to say to you. The Bible tells us here, the devil's on the prowl. He's on the prowl. Now that's not for us to be afraid. That's for us to be ready. Amen. That's not for us to be afraid. That's for us to be ready. And we know, but at this church, how much responsibility we have in seeing God's plans come to pass in our lives. We have to be in faith. We have a part to play. We have to confess. We have to say right. We have to do the right things with our money. We have to walk in line with the Word. And so I want to show you a couple things tonight. Probably won't even take that long, but this is what I want to say to you. When I tell Caleb and Abby, don't you dare go near that swimming pool. Now, they know how to swim now. And that's not so much the concern as, but, you know, accidents can happen, things like that. And when we tell them don't go near the road and stuff, you know, that's for their safety. That's for their betterment of life, is what you'd say. Now, if they violate what they know to not violate, if they don't listen to Dad's instructions, it could greatly affect the quality of their life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil will not take a break this summer. The devil is going to try to hinder. He's going to try to stop. But I'm going to tell you and give you what the Word says on how to stay and maintain readiness. Now, if you don't heed what pastor or spiritual dad of the church is saying, it will greatly affect the quality of your life. It's when the devil, I mean, when's the best time to attack? When people are sleeping. When people aren't on guard. You think the devil doesn't know? He's skilled at what he does. Oh, I see, it's holiday time, or it's summertime, and let's look at them. They haven't been building themselves up. They're not, they'll be easy to pull off a platform of faith. They'll be easy to get in worry and fear. Yeah, he's good at what he does. So this is your warning. Amen? Amen. Go with me to Matthew 4 and verse 4. Now again, you've heard all this stuff before, but it's going to stir you up. To remind you, again, we don't walk out of here afraid. Oh boy, the devil's after me. No, we walk out of here prepared and say, okay, well, if he comes knocking at my door, I'm going to be ready for him. Right. You might not be in the battle right now, but be ready because the battle's coming. It's always coming. As long as we're pressing forward with God, we're always going to have hindrances, always going to have opposition. Jesus said this in Matthew 4 and verse 4. He said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, mankind can live, it's talking about natural means here. Mankind can live, there's two different types of living here. Live by natural means alone. Many people, because we know it goes on and talks about, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he's talking about natural things and spiritual things. We know that people can live without spiritual things. There are many people that have a pulse and have a heartbeat that are in the world, that are alive, that have nothing to do with God. They are without God. They are void of God in their life. So when Jesus said man can't live by bread alone, he's not talking about a heartbeat and a pulse. Many people can live without the Word of God, because he says, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You have to understand what Jesus is saying in the Greek. Jesus is saying that word live there is the word zoe, abundant life, the God kind of life. He's saying man will never achieve abundant God kind of life, the life that you want. That's the life of victory. That's the life of prosperity. That's the life of health. That's the life of answers. That's the life of favor. That's the life of protection. He says man can't live heaven on earth or abundant life by natural means alone. That's what he's saying. He's saying, but it is achievable and possible by the Word of God. Remember he said in John 6, verse 63, I believe it is, he says, my words are spirit, they are life, praise God. You can never feed on the Word of God again and still live. A lot of people live long lives, never even get the Word of God in them. But he's not talking about a pulse and a heartbeat, because he'd be wrong then if he's talking about a pulse and a heartbeat. People don't need the Word to stay alive. They don't. A lot of people don't have the Word, and they're alive. They're ticking. It's going. Their heart's going. Yeah. He's talking about truly living. So he's saying if you want to continue to receive and walk in abundant life, this has to be a part of your life. Amen. Now, I love how he likens the Word to natural food. And we always break that down, don't we? And look at what that looks like and what that means. He's saying just the same way you need natural food to live, you take away natural food, you're going to struggle. You take away spiritual food, spiritually abundant life is going to struggle. Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if we want to continue abundant life, this can't be optional summertime. There can't be too much going on for this. Our visitations with God in church can't be put on the background. I'm not talking about vacations and the, you know, I'm talking about a lifestyle of the summer. A lot of people turn God off in the summertime and they struggle for it. In fact, I had a testimony not too long ago. People turning God off in the summertime. Neglecting God in the summertime. And the devil came and attacked them. And they repented to me and said, never do it again. Never do it again. Never do it again. I said, don't repent to me, repent to him. I just want to see you blessed. Listen, you come to church or don't come to church, read your Bible, don't. I'm just going to love you the same. I'm still going to hug you and be kind to you and help you as much as I can. Absolutely. It's not, that's between you and God, not me and you. And following summer came and it happened again. And things got worse this time. Summer came, God got turned off. This, like food isn't optional, this cannot be optional if you want to live. Amen. Truly live. Now let me take it a step further, because he told us in 1 Peter that we have an adversary that's coming. In various ways, he'll come with situations, circumstances, thoughts, ideas, work through people. Try to get you off your love walk. Try to get you into worry. Try to get you into doubt. Try to get you spiritually lazy. Go with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Just trying to remind you, as your loving pastor, with all this nice weather coming and things get busy, I get it, they do. Things get busy, but you can't neglect these things. Just like if Caleb and Abby neglect what I say to them, it will affect their quality of life. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 says this. I'm going to read down through verse 6. Now after the death of Moses. Now Moses was the leader of the children of Israel. He was their captain. He was in charge. The servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now you therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all the people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man to stand before you in all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Verse 6, now he gives them instruction. He says, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall you divide an inheritance of the land which I swore unto the fathers to give them. Now, let me put that in a nutshell. Moses is dead. The captain, the leader, the head honcho. And God says, Joshua, you're anointed now. You're the leader. Now, why that's a big deal is because, first of all, that's quite a promotion. That's some shoes to fill. Right there. And remember, they had previously failed doing what God said to do here. He already told them to do this 40 years earlier. Remember, they failed the promised land. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And now, 40 years is up, Moses dies, and he says, Joshua, take them in. Well, when he told them to take them in, the same things that kept them out 40 years ago were still there 40 years later. Yeah. Remember, they said, we can't go in the wall. There's walls there. Well, what was the first thing that came down to get into the promised land? A wall. The walls came down. So the walls were still there. The people were still there, the fortresses, the cities. What am I saying? The opposition didn't change. In fact, if anything, they had 40 years to meditate on how hard the opposition was and how big it was and how they were kept out. So here's Joshua trying to move into some things. Well, no doubt we're trying to move into things in our life. We're trying to maintain things. We're trying to continue abundant life, walk into abundant life, experience abundant life if we're not in all areas. And he says to him, because he knows, Joshua, this isn't going to be simple. What's he saying? There's enemies. There's walls. There's people. You're going to have to possess this land. You're going to have to go take this land. It's not going to just fall in your lap, is what he's saying. So he's saying to Joshua here, there's adversaries. There's enemies out there. Why am I saying this? Because the Bible said there's adversary for you. And he's not taking the summer off, people. He's going to still come against your family. He's going to still come against your finances. He's going to still come against your body. He's going to still come against your mind. And how whether or not you succeed and are victorious in those things is not up to God. It's up to you.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So I'm trying to equip you. So he says to him, he says, Joshua, the way you're going to do this, verse 6, is you need to be strong and of good courage. What's he saying? Be a faith man.
Amen.
He's saying you're going to have strength and you're going to have to be courageous because there's going to be, what's he saying? It's going to be difficult and there's going to be at times and opportunities to be very afraid. But those things aren't allowed. Those things aren't allowed for faith people. We press through those things, praise God. So he's telling them that, well, that's easy to say, Lord. Moses was at the head. Now I'm at the head. What in the world? You know, what the heck am I going to do here? Well, he tells them. So he says, be strong, good courage. Well, that's nice to say, Lord, but I need the prescription to have strength and good courage to go against my adversary. Just like you can't afford to not be strong this summertime or busy seasons of life. Busyness is not an excuse to put your spiritual life on the shelf. You will suffer for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop with the idea that pastors preach that God's angry with me when I'm busy. No, no, no. God loves you the same whether or not you do the word or not. But your life will be affected. People sacrifice their spiritual life for busyness, for paychecks, for things all the time. And it shows up in their life. And he says here, Joshua, here is the prescription. Because again, you can't afford to go weak this summer. Devil's not taking a break. You can't afford to get afraid when things come your way. But if you don't do the right things, you will be afraid. Because he's telling him, Joshua, there's going to be chances for you to be weak and there's going to be chances for you to be afraid. But you can't afford to be weak. You can't afford to be afraid. So here's the remedy. Verse 7 tells us in verse 8. Only be thou very strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8, he continues. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, see, the word of God will flow out of your mouth if you're putting the word in. You won't have to think about saying the word if you're putting the word in, because the spiritual law is what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you're putting in is coming out.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
Hello? Oh, hi, hell. What are you saying? Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? Well, we know what you've been putting in you. Oh, how am I going to pay for that? We know what you've been putting in you. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to... We know what you've been putting inside you.
So
you want the word to... He says, make sure the word doesn't come out of your mouth. Well, to make sure it doesn't stop coming out of your mouth. Well, how are you going to make it not stop coming out of your mouth? Make sure you keep putting it in. What do I always say? You can't dip a sponge in milk and expect Kool-Aid to come out of it when you press it. If you don't see, and when is the response necessary? When things come, our response is vital. When we get pressed upon, that's when we respond. But you won't respond the right way if you didn't take the time to put the right stuff in. You might go through the motions, but there won't be any faith and belief behind your words. But anyways, he says, the book of the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. He's saying, Joshua, big task ahead of you. There's enemies and adversaries, and there's going to be chances to be weak, and there's going to be chances to be afraid. But the way that you're not going to do that is if you keep the word ever present in your life. Just like Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but man will truly live with abundant life and victory and prosperity and health and heaven on earth if they'll keep the word ever present in their life. That's what he's saying. I know, you've heard me preach on this over and over and over. And then in verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Well, he told them how to do it. So when he says day and night, I think, when I think about that and you liken what the word is to food, I think about Smith Wigglesworth. Now, if you don't know much about him, he's an apostle of faith in England in the early 1900s. And I don't know, I can't remember if we did a book of the month, Smith Wigglesworth. We did? I'm getting a yeses and noes out there. Somebody's lying out there. We'll find out. We got a list at home. I'll find out who's lying to me. No. But Anyways, you read the testimony of his life and many signs, wonders, and miracles. A man of faith and power. I mean, you hear people like Lester Sumrall talk about him. People like Brother Hagin talk about him. People like Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen, talk about this mighty man. And you read the testimonies and it's like, wow. It's someone like, you know, you just want to emulate someone like that. He walked in victory. And one of the greatest testimonies that I can remember hearing about him was in the middle of the night, he was woken up and the manifested presence of Satan was in his bedroom. I'm just going to tell you, I think there might have to be an underwear change after that one. You know, I won't get to the point where it wouldn't be, but man, I'll tell you what, that would alarm me. At least, probably more than what it did him. You say, what did he do? Well, he rolled over and saw the manifested presence of the devil in his bedroom, and he said out loud, "Oh, it's just you," and rolled over and went back to sleep. I bet that made the devil happy. But how can somebody have that response? Well, we learn about Smith Wigglesworth that everywhere he went, he carried a pocket testament with him in his coat pocket, New Testament. And it said of him that when he would sit down for a meal, after he got done eating, he'd pull it out and he'd say, "I just fed my natural body, now it's time to feed my spirit man." What was he doing? Day and night. Which think about it now, the Lord told Joshua, "You need strength and courage." How did he tell him to get strength and courage? The Word of God. Why is Smith Wigglesworth able to roll over and not get scared and wet himself? Because he put the Word in him day and night, and that came to pass in his life. Amen. If you go back to verse 8, please, that would be great. He said, "You'll have prosperity and great success." He's saying, Joshua, if you'll keep this Word around you, you'll be strong and courageous, and what's ahead of you won't be a problem. And it's the same thing with all of you here. There's a devil out there. And the devil would love no more than to keep you out of your promised land. And how's he going to do it? By doubt and unbelief. By circumstances that seem bigger, that get you into fear, get you into worry. Situations that seem impossible, that seem hopeless, that get you in despair and discouragement. If he can get you into despair, if he can get you into discouragement, if he can get you into fear, if he can get you into worry, he has robbed you from the ability to walk out victory. So how are you going to avoid it? You're going to feed on the Word day and night. Imagine if we actually did it. But let's be completely honest. We've all been there. We maybe go to church on a Wednesday night, which is great. You get fed. You come to church on a Sunday morning and you get fed. But let's break that down. If you only ate one meal on a Wednesday night and only ate one meal on a Sunday morning, you're going to get awfully hungry. You're going to get awfully, it's going to be harder for you to stay in your love walk. You're going to be testy. You're going to be weak. And I remember one time I had to call her. For some reason, it was a hot day. I took Wrigley for a walk later in the day that day. Normally I took her in the morning before it got too warm, you know, in the summer. For some reason that day we were out there and I kind of regretted it, but I didn't eat breakfast or lunch. And I noticed on the walk I started to get kind of dizzy and feel like I was going to faint. So I called her, texted her, said, "Could you bring me some food on the walk that I was on?" Well, think about that. If we naturally neglect our bodies and don't feed our bodies, we feel it in the natural. We absolutely do. But our battle is not in the natural with the devil. It's the spiritual realm. And Brother Hagin would say we feed our bodies three hot meals a day and our spirit one cold snack a week. And then we wonder, why am I worried? Why am I not walking in love? Why are things tough? Why does everything seem like it's such a drudge and everything? Well, it's because you're weak where it counts. The spirit man. He told him, he said, "Joshua, you want to go through? You want," and I'm telling you the same thing. You want to get past what the devil's pressing on you and the things he's going to come your way and stay out of fear? Where? You have to keep the word ever present in your life. This can't sit there on the shelf or the book table or in your vehicle, wait till church all week in the summertime and think, well, it's just summer. The weather's nice. It's great. Devil, will eat your lunch. Amen.
Amen.
So number one is much time in the Word. Number two, go to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. What am I doing? Reminding you. It's not grievous for me to do so. Because in doing so, it keeps you safe. Hallelujah. It reminds you. Because I think we get into a religious mindset of, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this for a religious purpose. It's kind of, when I liken it to food, you know, I know that if I don't eat, I struggle. But I don't eat every day with the mindset that I got to do this or I'm going to be weak. That's what we do with the word. We come to, I got to do this. No, we do have to eat. But I'm not sitting in the morning thinking, I have to eat this breakfast or I'm going to be weak in a few hours. No, I enjoy eating. And I know it benefits me, but I enjoy doing it. And our mindset can't be, I got to do this for religious purposes. It's blessing me. It's wonderful. It's great. We need to renew. You need to start saying, I love the Word. I get so much out of the Word. God's going to speak to me this morning when I open the Bible. When I open the Word at lunch and read a few verses, God's going to speak to me. I love His Word. And then it'll become more when you renew your mind of that. But Luke 18, verse 1 says, He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought, how much to pray?
Always.
Always. Now, prayer is simple. It's communication with God. Now again, when I say things, I'm not throwing out a general blanket statement to sound dramatic or to be sensational is the word I'm looking for. I'm saying it from experience of talking to people and pastoring for almost 8 years and being around other ministers and what they've told me and things. Talking to God is prayer. But many Christians, God's children, go days and days and weeks and weeks without talking to Him at all or having any meaningful communication. Oh, Father, thank you for my food. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's good. That's not meaningful. What kind of a relationship is that? And the Word says men ought to always have communication with God. How much?
Always,
always, the Bible says. Now look at the result. That men ought always to pray. Now, again, don't get black and white into a ditch on this and think, well, that means I got to quit my job. That means I can never sleep because I can't pray. No, it's talking about a lifestyle of prayer. Jesus slept. Jesus had to work and things and had to carry about things in life at times. He's talking about doing it a lot. He said the result of people praying would be not fainting. Pray a lot. Strong. Why did I almost faint on that walk? Because I was weak.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You know, people that struggle with eating disorders, anorexia, you know, and my heart goes out to those people, you know. But a lot of times, they faint. They fall and get hurt. Why? They're weak. They're weak. Well, we can't afford to faint because Galatians chapter 6 says that we reap if we don't faint. Well, what's fainting? Well, when the pressure comes against us and things get hard and things get difficult and things look impossible, we get into worry. That's fainting. We get into discouragement. That's fainting. We give up. That's fainting. To heck with it. That's fainting. You just forfeited your victory. We can't afford. And he says the way to not faint is to pray always. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. It even enlightens us even more. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Simple stuff. Foundational stuff. Stuff that'll save your life. Oh, Dad, I know not to ride my bike. I know you know it. But by me telling you and you following through with it, keeps you safe, son. Pastor, I know we're supposed to pray and read the word. I know, but if you'll start doing it. Because it's not just the hearing of Caleb and Abby. It's the fact that they don't go past where I tell them. It's the fact that they don't go in the pool or they don't go where they're not supposed to go. That's what keeps them safe, by the following through of it. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now again, we know by verse 2, we won't turn there, but the Bible says in verse 2 that when we speak in an unknown tongue, we're speaking to God. It's praying. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that when we pray in tongues, our spirit prays. To who? The Father of spirits. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. So speaking in tongues is praying to God. He says, and remember what Jesus said, if you always pray, the result will be you won't faint. Why do we not want to faint? We want to receive. The devil's going to be trying to get you to faint this summer. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, here it is, edifies himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. But let's look at the beginning of that. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies, or that word edify, it's like to rise at an edifice or to build up, or a more modern, Greek scholars tell us a more modern word that would explain that word edify would be to charge up. He that prays in unknown tongues builds himself up and charges himself up. Those guys you see in the NFL that are humongous and the big muscles, they're not weak. They're strong. Why? They've taken time to build themselves up. If they show up and oppose that which is strong, they get their tail whipped. Remember that game I told you, the college football game? There are two top 10 teams and it was supposed to be a battle of the century, you know, and they were evenly matched and 4-star recruits on both teams, and one team came out and whooped the other team, and the team that lost, the coach said, you know, we knew everything they were going to do. We studied film on them. Nothing surprised us. He said, we weren't beat on the field this morning. We were beat in the weight room in the summertime. We were beat in the weight room in the fall. They were stronger than us. They were more built up than us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, the devil is very good at what he does. And God dangles the warning out there and says, he's out there. He's out there trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Try to get you weak. Try to get you faint. And try to get you... Well, the Bible says if you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. So guess whose job it is to make sure you're built up? Your job. Go to Jude verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude, and that's the book right before the book of Revelation. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. Praying, or on their most holy faith, how? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, that goes along with 1 Corinthians 14, 4. He that prays in an unknown tongue or he that prays in the Spirit charges or edifies himself. Well, here he's telling you. How are you going to build yourself up? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joshua, the way you're going to get through that and pass those adversaries, you're going to have strength and courage. God's given us two ways to have strength and courage. To be built up, to be strong in the Word and in prayer. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Let me point out a scripture here. We're almost done here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Now, would you say that Paul did something for Jesus? Amen. That's a dumb question, but it was meant to be. It was meant to highlight, yes, he obviously did. I mean, who else was given revelation face to face that we, thousands of years later, are still feeding off and living our lives upon? He didn't go to Bible school. He went to Jesus school face to face. He said, Paul said, I was taught it by no man. The revelation of righteousness, the revelation of the authority of the believer, things on sowing and reaping, all these things, Jesus schooled him face to face. Paul was used mightily to pave the way for us. And it says here in verse 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. What's he saying? I'm plugged into the charger more than anyone here. What's he saying? Another way he's saying is, I thank my God I'm more built up than anyone around. I thank my God I'm stronger spiritually than anybody around. Amen. Now, go with me real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. So we all agreed Paul did something for Jesus, paved the way. My God, can you imagine what Paul's life looks like in heaven? The crowns and the jewels and his mansion, and people see him and just probably just, there's Paul, there he is. Hallelujah. I don't have time to teach on it, but you do realize there's rewards and things in heaven for the faithful down here. Amen. Some people's lives will look different in heaven. Now, there won't be jealousy and there won't be sadness and there won't be greed and things, but there are crowns and jewels for the faithful ones down here. And you don't have to stand behind one of these to receive them. You have to be faithful and obedient to Him. Hallelujah. Do what He says to do. So we said that Paul was more built up. He did things for Jesus. He dominated. Well, Paul said this. He's the one that said a great door and effectual is opening, but there's many adversaries. When you try to press forward for God, get ready for 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 23. When you are going on for God and pressing in to God, you can expect the enemy to try to keep you out. You going to press forth for abundant life? Get ready for. You're trying to get your kids healed and your kids blessed and your finances and your health. Get ready for a test. Just comes up in my spirit. Those that are spiritually lazy are those that will miss out. You think you're just going to get by just because you're His child? No, no, there's lots of His children that are really struggling. Yeah. Those that are spiritually lazy will miss out. So look at what Paul went through here. I don't know if you've ever read down through this, but I'm going to read it. You'll be surprised if you haven't. Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times, that's 5 separate times, received I 40 stripes, save one. That's 40 stripes minus one. 5 times, he received 39 lashes. 5 separate times. Beat to a pulp. Bloodied. 5 separate times. 3 times, verse 25, I was beaten with rods. Beaten. Once I was stoned. When they stone people, they don't stone them for one reason than to kill them. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and the day I have been in the deep. That means he spent all night and a day in the ocean, not in a boat, in the water from the shipwreck. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirst, fasting, cold, and nakedness, besides those things that are without that which comes upon me, the care of all the churches. You give a Christian one of those things and they're checking out. Oh, it's too hard for me. Oh, this is just too difficult. Look at what Paul went through, but yet kept pressing and pressing. I'm amazed at the things people complain to me about. Can I get on a soapbox for a second? All their needs are met, everything they could ever want, and one little thing goes wrong in their life, it's like the world's ended. I want to shake them and say, don't you realize how good you have it? We become so complacent and so forgetful. And little things trip us up. Oh my God, I'm going through this! Yeah, but you got a nice bed to sleep in tonight. You got a nice vehicle to drive. Your cupboards are full. And Paul goes through this. Had somebody one time have a major 100% first class freak out to me because their refrigerator broke. It's the truth. Their face was so dismayed and downcast in their voice, and I thought, my God, what are they going through? And then they told me, and I wanted to slap them. So what? Go buy a cooler and some ice and throw your stuff in there till you get a new fridge. You're healthy. I mean, seriously, think of it. But why was Paul able to be full of joy all the time? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Why was Paul able to keep going? Because he prayed in tongues more than anybody. And we know he was a man of the word because he used to be a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, the level he was on, had to know by heart the first five books of the Old Testament. They had to know it inside and out. All the laws, everything. So we know he was a man of the word. What was he doing all the time? Feeding on the word, building himself spiritually, praying in tongues, building himself up. So he could go through all this and never quit and keep going so we can have what we have today and he can go to heaven and receive what he's received up there. My God. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? I mean, you almost can be tempted to take off into a sermon about complaining. You know, really? I look around this room, not too much any of us in here have to complain about. There might be things that are wrong and things that are going against us, but my God, we got it good. We do. We do. Praise the Lord. I'll close with this. You can close your Bibles. I want to tell you a story real quick. I've told you it before. So we saw tonight, if you don't spend time in the Word, you don't spend time in prayer, you're going to be vulnerable to the adversary that God warns you is out on the prowl. Remember, he's not taking summer off in Western New York. So it's our job to stay strong and built up is what I'm saying. But at times we do face things and it drags us down and wears us out. And we can be tempted to get discouraged and to faint and to quit and to give up and to say to heck with it. And you all remember the story. I was mowing the grass over at Walker's farm there and I was out in front of the house where they have the offices, and just praying in tongues on the lawnmower, and all of a sudden, that's the neat thing about God, he just does it when he wants to at times. All of a sudden, I had a vision I saw in the spirit. It hasn't happened to me a whole lot, but this was one of them. I saw my cousin Sarah climbing a mountain, and I saw the look of anguish and stress on her face, and she couldn't see it because the clouds and the fog or whatever it was, the mist of the mountain or whatever was blocking the peak of it. She was below that, and she was so close to getting to the top. I knew by revelation of the word of knowledge that she was going through hell on earth and that she was about to quit and walk away and go down that mountain. But what she didn't know was she was so close to her victory. And that the Lord showed me again by word of wisdom, which is showing you future things, that if she stays with it, the doorways that's going to open for her. But if she walks away, her life will never be the same. So I'm talking about people. We can't afford to quit and give up. We don't know what we're forfeiting. She wouldn't have known it. And I didn't know it fully. I just knew she was giving up a lot. And so I called her, and I call her Bear. You know, I've always called the nickname Bear. I said, Bear, I said, I don't know exactly what you're going through. I turned the lawnmower off, and I said, I don't know exactly what you're going through. I said, but the Lord just showed me, gave me a vision about you going up a mountain, and I'm telling her the vision, and I start to hear sniffling on the other end. I had no idea what she was going through. I wasn't even thinking about her. As far as I knew, everything was good. And this is time now where she doesn't live with us anymore. She still lives with us, so I don't really know what's going on with her life. And I said, you're so close to the top. I said, but you feel like it's never going to come. And I said, and you are just fed up, you're tired, you feel weak. And I said, and you're about ready to walk away. And I don't just mean, well, I mean walk away from God. And she starts bawling on the phone because I'm reading her mail. Because God showed me her mail. Not because I have any powers or abilities. And I said, this is what I saw. I said, you are close. I said, do not quit now. I said, I saw when you make it to the top, the door that's going to open for you. But I also saw if you walk away and quit, I said, you're going to regret it and you're going to forfeit some things that you're never, your life's just going to be different from this point forward. And she's crying and she says, Pastor Mike, she calls me Pastor Mike, you know, so sweet and honorable. And she said, I just don't know. I feel so weak. This is so hard. And there's no doubt. I'm not saying we don't face those things. Please, my little rant about being complaining is not to say I don't sympathize that there's times we go through hell on earth and we need help. And we need people to help encourage us and pick us up. Absolutely. We don't want to be lifestyle complainers is what I'd be. Lifestyle gripers. Sometimes we need to stop and look around and say, you know what? That might be a little bit of a challenge, but I got it pretty good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm saying. And up from my heart, the Lord showed me something else by revelation of my spirit. I didn't have a vision. But he brought to my attention her mom, my Aunt Rhonda. Now, my Aunt Rhonda's always had kidney problems for years. And my mom, years ago, when I was a little kid, gave her a kidney. And I remember going out and seeing my mom at Buffalo Hospital and not understanding all that, you know, and crying and seeing my mom wave out the window and being crying and just so sad, mom's not coming home, you know, and just missed her, you know, and that kidney, something along the line, she just had such a bad time with her kidneys and had more problems with her kidneys to the point where she had to be put on dialysis now, and that's what she's on, dialysis for the rest of her life. And it came to me because I said to Sarah, because was she in a place of discouragement, opposition, wanting to quit, just at the end of a rope. I said, Bear, I said, how much, I knew the answer, but I said, how much you been spending time in prayer and word lately? She said, Pastor Mike, none at all. I said, I know. She said, it's too hard. I said, this is what the Lord just showed me. He showed me what you're going through and he showed me your help. I said, this is something you can relate to. I said, tell me a little bit about your mom's dialysis. Tell me about it. I said, well, Pastor Mike, if she doesn't do the dialysis treatment, she'll get real sick and it can lead to her death. I say, so what does it entail? She said, well, certain times of the day, it's something like 3-4 times a day, she's got to hook that machine into the wall and put whatever on or whatever and get those treatments. And it keeps her alive, it keeps her healthy, enables her to still see her grandkids, enables her to still go places she enjoys, enables her to still have a good life and enjoy life. You know, maybe it's better to not have dialysis, but the dialysis keeps her going. Amen. She's telling me this. I said, okay. I said, let me ask you, Sarah. I said, does your mom always feel like doing dialysis? She said, no. There's times in the nighttime or we're out somewhere and it's such an inconvenience and a pain in the butt. I said, so during those times when it's inconvenient, it's a pain in the butt, and it's busy, and things are going on, I said, does your mom just choose not to do it? She says, no, there's no choice of not doing it. She can't not do it. I said, why can't she do it? She'll get sick and die. I said, well, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he told Joshua, meditate in the word day and night, then prosperity and good success would come. He said, if you pray and spend time in the word, prayer with him, you're building yourself up and you'll be strong. I said, word and prayer, what we talked about tonight, need to become a revelation to you like the revelation that dialysis is to your mom. It doesn't matter that Aunt Rhonda doesn't feel like doing it. If she wants, now again, if you don't want abundant life, if you don't want victory, that's up to you. If she wants to get sick and die, she doesn't have to hook into dialysis. Doesn't have to. But if she wants a better quality of life, she's got to do something about it. And I'm here to tell you tonight on the doorstep of summer and how I see people check out all the time. Church attendance goes way down. People's spiritual lives go way down in the summer. The devil's not stopping in the summer. And if you want to continue and maintain and move into what you're believing God for and this abundant life and continue it, it's not optional. That's right. Spending time in prayer is not optional if you want what he says you can have.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. So you are reminded, you are stirred up. Be people of the Word, be people of praying in the Spirit this summer. Make time for it.
Amen.
It's your lifeline. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word tonight. Oh, thank you so much for the Word. Lord, I know I was stirred up. I know for myself there's changes and adjustments. Lord, life gets busy. Nice weather and lots of things to do and yard work and places to go. And before you know it, 2-3 days can go and the Word's just sat there and people just, weeks go by and they don't talk to you. And it's just, they might give you a little thank you, Lord, for this day before bed. And I mean, but we just can't neglect these things, Father. They're there. The warning shot has been sounded. And so now, Father, it's time to heed and obey the Word of God. I wish the devil would take the summer off. That would be nice, but he doesn't. So we need to stay built up. We need to stay strong spiritually. And the only way we're going to do that is by feeding on the Word and praying in the Spirit. So, Father, I thank you. We were stirred up tonight. I thank you for revelation. I thank you for people's eyes being opened. And, Lord, I thank you that this summer will be different than any other summer. And, again, we're not trying to impress you by how much time we spend in the Word or how much we pray or if we pray at all. That doesn't impress you, Lord. You love us how we are. But it changes our lives. So I thank you for revelation, for insight. And Lord, I know everybody in here is born again, but if there's someone listening right now or listening in the future by archives, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Jesus is the ticket to heaven. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. You have to go through Jesus. And the way you go through Jesus is two ways, two qualifications. You got to have them both. You must believe in Him. John 3:16 tells us that. And you must call on His name. Romans 10:13 tells us that. So once you believe in Him, you say, yeah, I do believe in Him. I don't understand everything, but I believe in Jesus. I believe He was real. Then there's another step. You can't just leave it there. The devil believes in Jesus, but he'll never see heaven again. Because he will not call on the name of the Lord. He will not accept Jesus. You must call on His name and invite Him into your life. And it looks like this. It's just, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my life. When you do that, you become a child of God, and heaven is your destination. Let us know. Shoot us an email. Shoot me a text. Give me a phone call. Let me know that you accepted Jesus, and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church where you can learn about all that God has for you here on earth. Let's just worship God for a second and praise Him tonight. We thank you for the Word tonight. We thank you for help tonight. Lord, you're just trying to keep us safe. That's all. I'm not trying to annoy Caleb and Abby by telling them. I'm just trying to keep them saved. Well, I'm not trying to put any yoke or bondage on anybody here tonight. I'm just trying to keep people built up, keep people strong. I pray that people would see the heart of this message from you and from me, Father. And we thank you, Lord. We love you tonight. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I love you and appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed.
That you've been down before, when you're halfway to nowhere and you can't pay the toll. You're hanging on to mercy, withered on the vine. With your feet on the ground, your head in the clouds, and your heart on the line. Open up your eyes. You got to rise up, rise up. When this life has got you down, you got to look up. Down. Great is your love and justice, God.